the Book of Judges. It's a tale of chaos unleashed, of violence unchained, and of a moral compass spinning wildly out of control. Ancient Israel's story? Perhaps. But as we peel back the pages, we'll find a mirror reflecting our own tumultuous times. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Sound familiar? Well, join us over the next few weeks as we study the Book of Judges, ancient wisdom for modern chaos. Our story begins now. So, Judges chapter 2, verse 6 to Judges 3, verse 6. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who had outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heresh in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered to ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. They quickly turned from the ways of their ancestors, who had been obedient to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshipping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and said, "Because this nation has violated the covenant I ordained for their ancestors and has not listened to me, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their ancestors did." The Lord had allowed those nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once by giving them into the hands of Joshua. These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their ancestors through Moses. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. What are we really like? What are we really like deep down? I'm only human, we say with a shrug as we mess up. But deep down, we reckon we're decent folk, don't we? Humanity as a whole, what we'd say is probably pretty good. On the scale of good and bad, well, humanity is probably about here. I mean, we look at history, all of those kings and queens, wars and plagues, and we think, blimey, we've come a long way, haven't we? I mean, we're no longer swinging clubs in caves anymore, are we? But are we much better? Have we improved? Is that true? There's a saying, hard times don't create who you are. Hard times show you who you are. Hard times don't create who you are, but they show you who you are. See, tonight, as we look at Judges chapter 2 and 3, and we see the Israelites, we're going to see ourselves revealed under pressure. What are we really like? There's an old hymn, we sing it here. We're going to sing it later, actually. That says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're prone to wander, prone to worship wrongly, prone to walk away from God. And if we really understand that, it's going to help us understand what we really need. So tonight, as we look at this passage, as we discuss this passage together, be ready. You might see yourself in the story. And that's okay. Because once we know what the problem is, we can start to look for the solution. So are you ready to take an honest look at yourself? Are you ready to see what we are really like when the pressure's on? Well, let's begin, shall we? Let's examine how Israel's faithfulness declined gradually over generations. You see, if we only read Judges chapter 1, we might be tempted to think the problem was just not being able to cope with the Canaanites. But our passage this evening gives us another look. It shows us that the problem is far deeper than that. And in many ways, this passage this evening is the summary of the entire book of Judges. It gives us the structure. It gives us the patterns. It gives us the conclusion to the book, all in one go. And we're going to witness a shocking transition from faithful to forgetful in just three generations. And it starts with a gradual decline. Have a look at verses 6 to 10. There's a painful contrast here with those who came before. See, the book of Judges has two introductions. And those two introductions match the two conclusions at the end of the book. And just as Joshua chapter 1 started, or Judges chapter 1 started by mentioning Joshua, so does the second introduction. Do you remember last week, Joshua died and we got what happened next? Have a look where we start again. Judges 2 verse 6, Joshua's back. But verse 7 tells us, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. You see two generations there. Joshua's generation served the Lord faithfully, at least Joshua's and his and Caleb. The elders who followed Joshua, well, they maintained that devotion. But then Joshua died. And soon after, the faithful generation passed away too. And then verse 10, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Now, those words there are actually an echo from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1 verse 8, then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. You're meant to hear the echo as we read that verse. In fact, Joshua and Joseph have many connections between each other, including the fact they both die at the age of 110. But that's going to set us up for what the rest of Judges is going to show us. It's going to show us a group of people who require an exodus, who require a deliverer, a redeemer to come and rescue them from foreign oppressors. A group of people who need a new Moses. But the twist here in this verse is it's not the enemy. It's not the Pharaoh who forgets who God is. It's the people. It's God's people. You see, the people have no relationship with the Lord. That is what the language of forgetting means. The language of forgetting is relational language. So how do you go from a generation serving God to a generation who's forgotten God? And that's sobering, isn't it? Christchurch Hemel may look like a healthy church. But how does a group go from being faithful one generation to forgetting God the next? There are churches across this land asking that question right now. How might we be unintentionally contributing to gradual decline in faith, in our families, in our community, in our church? What is our church attendance saying about what we think of church? What are the things we do instead during the week saying we think are most important? How's our desire to read, discuss, think about God's word? What's that saying to other people? What's that saying to the younger ones in our church? You see, the book of Judges reveals our human tendency to forget God and to repeat the sin of previous generations. It's highlighting for us our desperate need for a perfect and eternal deliverer. There's a gradual decline in faithfulness here. But that decline doesn't take God by surprise. And it shouldn't surprise us, really, if we're listening to God's words. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Just notice that's the situation of Judges, right? Then when you eat and you are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. What particularly about God? Well, the Exodus, who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. Judges is a test case of what happens when a people move away from God's word. What do? They forget. And when one generation simply assumes God's word, well, the next generation forgets it entirely. There's a gradual decline. So having seen that, the gradual decline in the faith of Israel, let's have a look at the cycle of betrayal that follows. Judges 2, 11 to 19. You see, these verses here give us the framework for Judges. They are literally the ABCs of Judges. Away from God leads to bad times, calls the people calling out, leads to the people being delivered, leads to the people doing evil once more. See, this cycle repeats all the way through the book of Judges. So you first have the Israelites going away from God in verses 11 to 13. Have a look. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. Notice there the reference to Deuteronomy again. They followed and they worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. Each cycle of Judges starts with the phrase, that phrase there. We're going to see it next week. It's the structural marker for a new section in the book. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if you were to ask to explain, what does that mean? Well, we might think that when we say the Israelites did evil, they were just bad people. They did some bad behaviour. Well, in the original text, it says the Israelites did the evil. The Israelites did the evil in the eyes of the Lord. See, in the Bible, especially in Deuteronomy, the evil means turning your back on God. It's like taking a marriage covenant and ripping it up. It's not just doing something wrong. It's turning your back on God entirely. It's a picture of adultery. And that picture of adultery is brought out with who they worship. They worship Baal. You could translate Baal as husband. They turn from one husband to another. They forsook the one who had made a covenant with them, who had brought them out of Egypt, being like a husband to them, and they worship the other gods around them. They should have destroyed the idols, but they fall straight in love for them, just as God said they would. So they go away from God, and that leads to bad times, verses 14 to 15. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. Notice there, it's not God who loses control. It is that God gives them over. That's how God deals with sin. Romans chapter 1 will tell us the same thing. Those who reject God, God gives them over to their desires. You see there, it's God's hand is against them, just as he had sworn. If the people will not listen to God, he must send in the enemy. He has said he would do that. If he doesn't do that, he himself is being unfaithful to his own words. God has said this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You get the idea, Deuteronomy might be quite important here. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will be surely destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Israel go away from God. That leads to bad times. Next, they call out to the Lord. You see that at the end of verse 15? They're in great distress. Later on, it says they shout out. All the way through Judges, they're going to call out to the Lord. At least they start doing that. God's judgment is always aimed at bringing people back to him. In their distress, in their crisis, surely the Israelites will realise their ways. Away from God, bad times, calling to God leads to God raising up a deliverer. See, in this cycle, we see God's grace abounds even when they don't deserve it. Just notice that. God's grace abounds, doesn't it? They don't deserve a deliverer. They've done nothing to deserve it. But God in his grace gives one. Verse 16, the Lord, it is he who raises up the judges. That's worth saying what a judge is. A judge isn't someone in a curly wig sitting in a court. A judge in the Bible is more like a leader, a warlord. The best definition I've come across so far is an agent of God's justice. That is how Hebrews 11 describes them. Someone who delivers God's people. But notice verse 18. Notice the word whenever. See, it's the Lord who again and again raises up judges because, end of verse 18, the Lord relented because of their crying out or their groaning under those who depressed and afflicted them. As we go through Judges, we might think God is evil, God is capricious. If God was capricious, if God didn't care, he wouldn't do that, would he? God cares for his people even when they don't care for him. Even whilst we were still sinners, God sent his son. Away from God, bad times, call out, deliverance, but it always comes back to Israel doing evil again. You see, it's a cycle. It's like a circle. It goes round and round, a cycle of betrayal, a cycle of apostasy. Verse 17. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. They quickly turned from the ways of their ancestors, who'd been obedient to the Lord's commands. In fact, it's not a cycle, is it? It's a downward spiral. It's like a slinky dropping to the ground. It's a spiral of sin. Verse 19, when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshipping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. Do you see that language there? They turn back. That's a phrase usually used of turning back to God. But what are they doing here? They're turning back from the Lord to idols. It gets worse and worse. There is progress, isn't there? But it's a downward spiral. It's a cycle of betrayal. And then we get God's verdict. Verse 20 down to 3 verse 6. God had helped the Israelites conquer the promised land. He rested them in the land. But now he decides to leave some of the other nations there. In fact, it literally says, God rested the other people in the land. What God said he would do for Israel, he actually does for the enemies. Why? To test Israel's faithfulness. Verse 22. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their ancestors did. Now, God doesn't do that because he's unsure what's going to happen. No, God is setting the stage for us, for the readers. He's saying to us, watch this. You're about to see what these people are really made of. So what happens? Well, it's like leaving a kid in a room full of sweets and telling them not to eat any. The Israelites fail the test spectacularly. They start mixing with the other nations. They start marrying into their families. They even start worshipping their gods. Verses 5 and 6. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. You see, this isn't just a one-time slip-up. This is setting the stage for a whole series of conflicts and problems we're going to see throughout the book of Judges. In fact, beyond the book of Judges. It's like watching the first domino fall in a long line. So we could shut the book of Judges there, really. I mean, why do we need the rest of the book of Judges? If Israel is going to fail, as this tells us, what is the point of keep reading? Well, because that is the point. The point is to see the test played out, to understand in detail how and why this happened. See, sin desensitizes us, much like being in a swimming pool on a cold day. When you first jump in, you're really aware of the cold. It's uncomfortable. It's even shocking. But the longer you stay in, the less you notice the temperature. The water doesn't get warmer, at least not noticeably. You simply get used to it. Show me the real you. That is what Judges is doing for us. It shows us what we're really like when pressure is applied. Hard times don't create who you are. They show you who you are. But they also show us who God really is. Persistently gracious, even in the face of our failure. See, as we study Judges, we see ourselves mirrored in the Israelites. Remember last week, the Israelites were echoing Adam and Eve, humanity. Well, so we can see ourselves here. They forget, they fail, they fall away from God. See, sin often works the same way in our lives. The first time we compromise our values or disobey God, we feel that discomfort. We're aware of the coldness of our actions compared to the warmth of God's love, God's holiness. But as we stay in that sin, we become numb, don't we, to the very things that once shocked us. That's what happened to the Israelites. They jumped into the cold water of idolatry and disobedience, and instead of quickly returning to the warmth of God's presence, they stayed there. Generation after generation, becoming more and more comfortable with sin, less aware of how far they'd strayed from God's ideal. The book of Judges reveals humanity in its most humanness. It reveals our human tendency to forget God and to repeat sin. I want to remind us, our task this evening is not to look out there, to not pick on other churches, to pick on non-believers. Our task is to see this in ourselves. If you don't believe me, the New Testament thinks we need to do that. Paul emphasises this again and again, doesn't he? Just remember 1 Corinthians. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Remember, sin doesn't stop. It spreads. It contaminates everything it touches. It's like a toxic spill in a river. It flows far beyond its origin. It's like a toxic spill in a river. It doesn't stay contained. It spreads. It contaminates everything it touches. It flows downstream. It affects the wildlife, the vegetation, the communities around it. Just like that, sin does the same thing. It seeps into every area of our lives, our thoughts, our relationships, our thinking, our actions. And the full impact goes unnoticed until it's too late. You see, we need a solution. We need something that's going to address our sin. We need to remember the Lord, to remember his grace, to not forget, to not assume. The next generation here needs that as well. And they need us to help them with that as well. So as we work our way through this book, it's going to spur us on to greater faithfulness. It's going to create a desire to listen, to value, to cherish, to really prioritise what God has said, to remember God's word, to meditate on it day and night. So let me ask you this evening, in what ways might your life be gradually drifting away from God? Perhaps in the things you consume, in your financial decisions, the things in your week, your relationships. How can you intentionally remember God's faithfulness this week? We started by asking what we're really like deep down. Judges shows us our humanity, that left to ourselves, we are prone to forget God, to repeat the sin of the past, to spiral into unfaithfulness. But it already has reminded us of God's persistent grace in the face of our failure. You see, ultimately, Judges is pointing us to our desperate need of a perfect and eternal deliverer, a perfect and eternal judge, the Lord Jesus, who not only rescues us, but empowers us to live his way by the Spirit, to break that cycle of sin. This book is going to teach us that we need God to come to us because, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Any questions can be sent to podcast@david-couch.com. I'll see you again next time.